Amen. Well, it's Resurrection Sunday. It's a time to celebrate the risen Christ and the risen Lord. I guess this is the Sunday when we have the greatest attendance in churches, not only here, but all across the world. And depends on the time zone. I guess the people in the Eastern time zones, the far Eastern time zones, are a little bit ahead of us, but we're ahead of those that are in the Western time zones. But as regarding your time zone, as it gets to the time of worship, people fill churches to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and risen from the dead. It ought to be a day, a great day of joy and a great day of hope. And today, though, as I take the time that I have with you, what I want us to do is to fully understand what we're celebrating, lest we lose the significance of this event. You know, there are days and events all through the year that we celebrate. Some of them are in conjunction with the church and some of them aren't. But sometimes when we celebrate these events, we are, as people, so far removed from the events that are the reason for the celebration that we lose some of the significance of the celebration. We really don't know what we're celebrating. I'll give you some examples. You take Thanksgiving, for instance. How many people know when they celebrate Thanksgiving that it is tied to pilgrims who were Puritans who left England because they were being religiously persecuted and all they wanted to do was to worship God? And so when you follow the Puritans and you follow all of the experiences that they had and all of the dangers and all of the hardships as they made their way here, over the years, imprisoned and persecuted and members of families dying, you get on a Mayflower eventually and you get here to the new country so that you can worship the Lord. And most of those people that came on that boat died. And it was a horrible experience, a horrible cold winter, and moms died on the tops of their children trying to protect them and give them warmth. You have all of that story. You have all of that saga. And in the midst of that difficulty, as they wanted to worship God, they had a season where God blessed them. And thus they came out of that season and they gave thanks to Him. And I think sometimes we're so far removed from those events and what really spawned Thanksgiving that we don't even know what we're celebrating when Thanksgiving comes, and we basically have reduced it to a big meal and to parades, Macy's Day Parade, and football. And a lot of people don't really get it when it comes to Thanksgiving. And it's simply because we're so far removed from the events, we forgot what we're celebrating. Same thing is true with Christmas. Most of us celebrate Christmas at some point in church. But, you know, if you asked me to explain to you the incarnation, I really couldn't do it. When you come to Christmas, you come to a very staggering truth of God wrapping Himself in human flesh and coming to live in our world. Who in the world can explain that? And if I were to explain it, which I can't do, I don't know that you could understand it. This is an incredible thought of God sending His Son into our world. And you know what we've done with it. Instead of celebrating the incarnation and celebrating Jesus wrapping Himself in flesh and coming to live among us, we basically have now a commercial extravaganza because we're so far removed from the event. And now Christmas for most people, even though they celebrate it, has been reduced to gifts and shopping and decorating and eating. And now we are even pressured to remove it even more from the event because you need to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. We just keep backing up from the meaning. We keep missing what it's all about. Same thing is true with the 4th of July. I wonder how many people, when they celebrate the 4th of July, are really conscious of how our nation began and the loss of life that was required in bringing the freedom that you and I enjoy. And we pretty well have reduced it to hot dogs on grills, and I like hot dogs. And I like them with chili and slaw, that's the southern kind. And I cook hot dogs, but that's the 4th of July, and we've reduced it to hot dogs and fireworks. And there's nothing wrong with any of that, except for the fact that when we get so far removed from the event, we lose sight of what we're really celebrating. Now we come to Resurrection Sunday. Many people call it Easter. The first believers knew nothing of Easter. The first believers were worshiping a God who was alive. They knew everything about resurrection. And it is a great spiritual significant event. But I wonder if most people who will crowd the churches today and fill the churches and they will celebrate this event really know what the event is all about, or have we reduced it to eggs and bunnies and to spring break? Resurrection Sunday. Our worship today is tied to an event over 2,000 years ago when a tomb was found empty. I love that. It's empty. And it was empty for a reason. That's the crucial event. When the folk that went to the tomb to visit Jesus' body found it empty. When the women went on Sunday morning, they said, "It is empty." Those who opposed Jesus and those who were his enemies said, "Oh, it's empty." When the women told the disciples and Peter and John, and they went and they looked in the tomb, they said, "It is empty." When the ladies got there, the angel said to them, "It is empty. It's empty because Jesus is alive." There are several verses of scripture. Let me just read some of them to you. First of all, in John chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days.'" I think the disciples never heard the resurrection part of it because they were so stunned about the death thing. But Jesus told them that he wasn't going to be there after 3 days. He was going to be raised. In John 10 and verse 18, it says, "No one takes my life from me. No one takes it," that's my life, "from me. But I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up." And this is what the angels said to the ladies when they were at the tomb, Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Crucified means dead. He died. "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said," and he was alive. And as that word circulated, and as the resurrection and the aliveness of Jesus was confirmed, then people began to celebrate like we celebrate today, and that's what we're doing. Folks, amid all the stuff that we do at Easter, why are we celebrating today? And what are we celebrating? And as I've looked at this, I think there's something that we do that really is not necessarily a part of Scripture. I'm not sure that we have it completely clear in our mind. And the reason that I say that is this. I think most people believe that Jesus Christ was the conqueror on Sunday, when in fact, he was the conqueror on Friday. That's when the victory was. And I understand that if you were a bystander, if you were to have been at the cross the day when Jesus died, and you were standing there and you saw him on the cross, suspended there, with nails in his feet and nails in his hand, having been denied and having been deserted by his disciples and everyone else, on the cross, dehydrated and dying, you would have never considered that to have been a scene of victory. It is true. It looked like pure defeat. If there was anything that seemed to have victory that day, it was the prejudice, it was the brutality, it was all the hatred, all the things that had come against him. And I think most people would stand there and they would look at Jesus dying on the cross and they say, I don't understand this, but evil today has triumphed over good. But folks, that wasn't the case at all. In fact, it was just the opposite. It was good triumphing over evil. You see, what happened is that Jesus Christ wrapped himself in human flesh and he came to the earth and he died. Why did he die? He died because he chose to die. But he died because he decided to take, because he loved us, our sin on himself. You see, sin's penalty is death. Jesus decided to die. He didn't have any sin of his own. We're the ones with the sin. But he said, what I choose to do is to die for them. And so he died for us to pay the penalty of sin. And the reason that sin causes death is because it separates from God. It separates from God who gives life. And here's the point. If you want to defeat death, you have to defeat sin that brings death about. And that's exactly what Jesus did on Friday. On Friday. And so, folks, what we need to do today is to celebrate. It's one of the greatest days in history. But please do not regard the cross as the defeat and Sunday, the resurrection, as the victory, when in fact, it is Friday when Jesus defeated sin and death, that is the victory. And today, what is today? Well, today is the announcement and the celebration of what he did on Friday. What were you doing on Friday? Did you understand on Friday what Jesus had done for you? The scripture teaches that Jesus defeated on the cross the one who had the power of death. Let me read you these verses in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to this. Since the children have flesh, here's the good thing. This is the gospel. Since you and I have flesh and we have blood, then he decided to share in our humanity. He too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. How does the devil have the power of death? He has the power of death because he has the ability to lure you and me to sin. And then when we sin, we become separated from God, and when you become separated from God, then your state is a dying state, and the devil thinks, okay, if I can keep them in that state, they will die separated from God. That's the way he works. That's his plan. That's his purpose. But if you have a superior weapon to his, you can defeat him. Jesus had the superior weapon when he died on the cross. It's like a stick against a tank, folks. When Jesus got through with the devil, the victory had been won because he had paid the penalty for sin, and as a result, what sin and death brings about has now been canceled, and no longer are we dying and being separated from God. Victory on Friday. You see, that's why, if you've never understood it before, why you can call Friday Good Friday. How in the world can anybody ever refer to Friday and what happened on Friday as Good Friday? You can refer to Friday, though, when you understand what took place, because on Friday, Jesus conquered. Jesus conquered death on Friday. And when you look beyond the horror of the cross, you see the purpose of God being fulfilled. Victory on Friday, decisively at the cross, and then announced and celebrated on Sunday. You see, the conquest that was final on, which was announced on Sunday, but which was final on Friday, had been sort of going on anyway. It had been in process. Ever since Jesus came and ushered in the kingdom, you see the victories taking place. When Herod tried to, in his dragnet, kill Jesus and the boy babies being killed, he failed. He failed. When the devil took Jesus to the wilderness and tried to tempt him and get him to fail so that he would be disqualified as the Savior, he failed. Victory. Every time the people try to throw Jesus off a cliff or get him to become a political messiah and do it a different way, they failed. Because victory was being seen at all of those points. When Peter stood in front of Jesus and said, I've heard you talk about this cross thing now, and I just want to tell you that that's just not going to happen. You don't need to do that. You don't need to go to the cross. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. There was victory. And wherever Jesus went, the lame walked, the blind were able to see, people were fed, and people were forgiven because the victory was already in taking place. But the final victory over death took place on Friday, and then we celebrated on Sunday. Again, he conquered on Friday, not on Sunday. He conquered at the cross, not the grave. Death was defeated because sin was defeated, and he who holds the power of death was defeated on Friday. And it is because of that, you and I put on our clothes and we get in church on Easter Sunday and we sing to the top of our lungs because the victory has been won. And because Jesus is alive and because he was the conqueror of death, resurrection confirms it and announces it. And death, resurrection. Death, resurrection. You don't need a resurrection without death. Death and resurrection, they're always connected. Almost everywhere in the scripture where you find death, the death on the cross, you find the resurrection. Jesus linked them together. Let me give you some examples of that in the scripture. Mark 8:31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and by the chief priests and by the teachers of the law. And that he must be killed, and then what? Death, resurrection. And after 3 days, rise again. Closely associated with that is Mark 9:31. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And then in 3 days, he will rise. Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. With the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Do you see that last phrase there? Why is it impossible for death to keep its hold on him? Because he had defeated death and had to turn him loose. There's no way for death to hold him because Jesus had defeated him. The Bible says that God gave him his life. Jesus, and the Bible also says that Jesus took up his life. John 10, verse 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me, Jesus said, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Jesus defeated death on Friday, and because of that, death could not hold him any longer. And he was alive on Sunday when it was confirmed, announced, and celebrated. Now let me conclude with a question. Why did Jesus take on death and the devil? You ever thought about that? I think he took on death and the devil, obviously, because he had promised to bring deliverance. You go all the way back in the scripture to Genesis 3, and it says that one of these days, from the seed of the woman, after the sin in the Garden of Eden, there's going to come a Savior, and he's going to defeat this one that brought the curse into the world. Here is the allurement. You know, what does he do with Adam and Eve? He lures them to sin, and after they come to sin, what do? They're separated from God, and so what is the penalty of that? Death. And there is a promise in 3:15 that one day the Savior is going to come, and he's going to defeat the one that brought this about. Well, that's part of it. I think when you look through Scripture, you understand that God always had a purpose, and the purpose was to have a people and to be with a people. And he is achieving that purpose. You may say, well, Jesus just wasn't going to let Satan wield this power any longer, and he was going to, because he had the superior power, beat him, and he did. But here's the part I don't want you to miss. Jesus took on death, and he took on the one who holds the power of death to that point because he loves us. Do you understand that? Because he loves you, and because he loves me. God made us to love him, and he lost us because of sin. But he didn't let it rest there. He said, I'm going to go after them, and I'm going to win them back. And he came after us. And folks, it took the cross to do that. But Jesus was willing to go to the cross, and he took on death, and he took on sin so that you and I could live. Here's the thing that I find so tragic, is that people celebrate what Jesus did without personally benefiting from it. I know people who acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross. I know people who wear crosses around their neck. I know people who, in spite of doing that, commemorating the cross, commemorating what Jesus did, in a sense understanding what Jesus did, I see people who do that and they still have not benefited from what he did. I see people who come to church on Easter Sunday celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive and commemorating that event and still have not benefited from what Jesus did. Do you understand that the reason he went to the cross is because he wants you and me to be forgiven? Don't you understand that the reason he took on death and he won it? With the superior weapon, he won it. He won the victory over sin and death. He wants us to live. And he wants us to enjoy what God has always purposed. To have a people and have a people who would be his people and live with him. He doesn't want us separated from God. One day he wants us to experience our own resurrection. Like his resurrection. These events were for us. And the question that we've got to ask today is, am I benefiting from what he did for me? And at some point, folks, Jesus has done all this, and we have to reach out for the lifeline. At some point, we have to say, I believe you did that for me. And I accept it. And I trust you for what you did for me. Again, I come back to what I said as we began. Sometimes we can get so far removed from the event that we lose the significance of it. Don't do that. First of all, understand what this day is all about. Don't be confused about this day. This is a day of celebration. This is a day of announcement. This is a day when the resurrection of Christ was confirmed. He won the victory on Friday. And because of that, every one of us in this room can be forgiven, and every one of us in this room can live, and every one of us in this room no longer has to be separated from God. And none of us have to fear death, because when he got through with it, he makes it a door into the presence of God. Not an instrument that eternally separates us from God. Today, as a sinner, I need to be forgiven. And today, because I die, I need to know the one who has the victory over death. And all of that is available through the one who conquered. When? On Friday. And we celebrate it on Sunday because death couldn't hold him anymore. Because he was the conqueror. Do you know the conqueror? And have you personally benefited from what the conqueror did? Lord, we really do not know how to thank you. We could not put into words how we could thank you. To seek to understand the love that would cause you to wrap yourself in human flesh for the sole purpose of living here, understanding our situation so you could become our high priest, but ultimately to die, is beyond our understanding. But Lord, when you went to the cross on Friday and you took on that thing that causes death, sin, and you paid its penalty, and you paid it for me, and you paid it for everyone in this room. You defeated it, and you defeated him who holds the power of death, because you defeated him too. And you did all of that because you loved us. Lord, we want to be yours, and we want to live for you, and we want to know you, and we want to experience all that you have achieved in your atoning work. We want to be forgiven. We want to live. One day we want to have our own resurrection. And I pray that everyone in this room today would understand what Jesus did, what we celebrate today, and personally apply it to their lives. And may that bring great glory to you and great satisfaction, because the purpose of God is being achieved. Thank you for what you've done for us and for the fact today that we could celebrate it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? We come to an end of a service as we've celebrated today the risen Christ. And my question to you is, do you know him personally? And have you received every bit of the benefit that is yours because of what he did? If you have a decision today that you would make, you want to talk to me, I'll be here at the front. If you want to speak to a counselor, they're available. You can also go down the hall to the next step room and just speak with someone there. But today is a great day to say in your heart, I know him. He loved me, and now I receive him and all that he did for me. Don't leave without that decision. You're welcome to come as we sing.